Warning, the SwampSwamiSports.com podcast is rated M for mature audiences. If you're under the age of 50, you probably won't get most of his bad jokes and puns.
Let's review college football week number one, and it's time to pass the hat for Dabo Swinney. The Labor Day Telethon is now underway in South Carolina. Clemson fans are collecting their hard-earned money to help raise the $57 million needed to buy out the contract of two-time national championship football coach Dabo Swinney. LSU virtually assured that the end is near for the 56-year-old Coach Swinney after a 51-10 beatdown on national television Saturday night in Baton Rouge. The Bayou Bengals spotted Clemson an early 3-0 lead after LSU was intercepted on the game's first series. But then, LSU came roaring back to score 51 consecutive points and take a 51-3 lead in the fourth quarter of this game. The Louisiana Tigers registered 309 yards rushing to go with 335 in the air, with three different quarterbacks under center for the Tigers. Clemson could only manage 145 yards in total offense and a measly 8 first downs in the game. Most of those totals came during the fourth quarter. It was by far the worst loss of Coach Dabo Swinney's 18-plus year career at Clemson. The Clemson coach, well, at least for now, said afterwards, "The best thing about that game is that it's over." Yes, but so is your time at Clemson, coach. That telethon has not yet reached its goal. The first game in the Lane Kiffin era at LSU was a rousing success. LSU fans were confident that former Ole Miss coach Lane Kiffin would be able to improve the team's offense. But no one expected this amount of improvement. A school record 38 first downs were recorded during LSU's 51-10 thrashing of Clemson in front of 102,000 rain-soaked Tigers fans in Baton Rouge. LSU's transfer portal brigade of 44 new players led the way. Former Arizona State quarterback Sam Leavitt accounted for 230 yards passing and ran for another 113 more on 13 carries as he accounted for three total scores in this game. Then backup quarterback Landon Clark appeared. He's from FCS Power Elon in Greensboro, North Carolina. He looked sharp going 5 out of 7 with another touchdown pass for LSU. But it was Wisconsin's transfer running back Dylan Jones who stole the show for LSU versus Clemson. The former high school wrestler lowered his shoulders and bullied his way for 113 yards against what had been expected to be a very tough Clemson defense. LSU's 644 yards in total offense against a nationally respected ACC team like Clemson opened up a lot of eyes on Saturday night. The Tigers' next opponent, though, scored even more points, and that was just in the first half. So is Louisiana Tech really that good? Probably not. But was Northwestern State University really that bad? Yes, they were. While LSU was thrashing Clemson, the Louisiana Tech Bulldogs scored a school record 63 points during the first half against longtime foe Northwestern State University in a game played in Ruston Saturday night. And exactly like Clemson did against LSU, it was Northwestern taking a 3-0 lead early in the first quarter in Ruston against the Bulldogs. But then Louisiana Tech reeled off a school record 80 consecutive points to demolish their North Louisiana FCS rivals. Final score, Louisiana Tech 80, Northwestern State 6. The Demons from Natchitoches are now 0-2 after losing their home opener 42-37 to surprising NAIA member Louisiana Christian out of Pineville last weekend. Third-year head coach Blaine McCorkle came to Northwestern State with some high hopes after he had turned around the football program at Belhaven College in Mississippi. After Saturday night's loss, Coach McCorkle told the press, quote, "These games can get sideways on you in a hurry." Indeed, coach. His Demons football teams are now 1-25. Ooh. Coach Blaine McCorkle's lone win came in 2025 as Northwestern State scored a 20-10 home victory last year over Alcorn State. Meanwhile, the Ruston-based Bulldogs travel to Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge to take on the LSU Tigers this Saturday. Last year, you might remember, Tech made LSU work very hard to earn their 23-7 home win. Well, with LSU scoring 51 points against Clemson and Louisiana Tech ringing up 80 points on Northwestern State, I don't expect another low-scoring affair this year in Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge this coming Saturday night. Next, Nuts and bolts, Western Michigan got, well, you know. The NBC television camera showed that the game clock was at 0.00 after Michigan's last-gasp Hail Mary pass went incomplete against 27-point underdog Western Michigan University. The Broncos from the Mid-American Conference had just defeated number 16 Michigan 12-7 in front of 107,000 stunned Wolverines fans in Ann Arbor, Michigan Saturday afternoon. But wait! The referees then huddled for a few minutes and told the stadium crowd and the home television audience that there was 1 second left on the clock? What? Michigan would get one more chance. And, of course, a well-conceived second heave-ho by Michigan's vastly overpaid NIL quarterback Bryce Underwood would land in the hands of wide receiver J.J. Buchanan for a 47-yard score in the game's second final play. Afterwards, thousands of jubilant Michigan fans for some reason stormed the field to celebrate their team's unlikely 13-12 win over a 27-point underdog. Western Michigan's fans and a national television audience were up in arms after that game, watching the referees grant another chance to the Wolverines. The refs would claim that the clock being kept on the field by the officials was different from what the stadium and the home viewers were all seeing together. Right. This weekend, I was impressed by both number 9 Ole Miss and number 24 Louisville. The Rebels won last night's 41-38 thriller on a last-second field goal in Nashville. Now, these two teams look really sharp, especially in the second half. We already knew that Ole Miss quarterback Trinidad Chambliss was good. It was Louisville's Lincoln Kindholz who surprised the national television audience with 309 yards of passing and another 69 yards on the ground to account for 3 Cardinals touchdowns. Hey, I'd like to see a rematch of these two teams in the playoffs. I was also impressed by Pittsburgh, though not the Steelers. We're talking about the Pitt Panthers. If you're looking for an early Heisman Trophy surprise candidate, look no further than true sophomore quarterback Mason Heinschel of Pittsburgh. The Panthers quarterback passed for 7 touchdowns and 434 yards in Pitt's season-opening 59-14 trouncing of Miami of Ohio. Better watch out around the ACC this year. And speaking of ACC, I am impressed with Virginia. The University of Virginia has one of the most experienced and oldest college rosters in the country. Those senior citizens from Charlottesville opened up their season with a 34-8 rout of ACC rival North Carolina State just a week ago. The Wahoos' incredibly easy schedule this year includes only one current top 25 team. That's number 19 SMU coming up on October 17th. Did someone say playoffs? Playoffs? Finally, the UMass Minutemen. The Minutemen have been one of the worst major college football teams for more than a decade. UMass has just 18 wins against 94 losses over the past 10 football seasons. On Thursday night, the University of Massachusetts went to New Jersey and defeated Big Ten member Rutgers 37-21 as Scarlet Knights fans sat in stunned silence. Here's a group of teams where it's way too early to tell what we've got here. The season-opening cupcakes are a bit fattening, and they don't sharpen your squads for the games ahead. So I'm going to give a rain check to the following teams until they actually play a worthy opponent. All of these teams won by big margins. Number 1, Ohio State. Number 3, Georgia. Number 5, Texas. Indiana is number 6. Number 7, Miami. Number 8, Texas A&M, who shut out Missouri State 50-0. Number 10, Oklahoma also pitched a shutout 51-0 over UTEP. Number 12, Texas Tech skated to victory, as did number 13, Alabama. Number 14, BYU. Number 18, Penn State pitched a shutout 45-0 over Marshall. Number 20, Tennessee had no trouble. Number 21, Utah won easily, as did number 22, Iowa. And number 25, Missouri. All easy wins. But I was not impressed by number 2, Oregon. Now, the Ducks were tied with unranked Boise State, 27 apiece midway through the final quarter at home Saturday afternoon. A late touchdown pass gave Oregon a 34-27 lead, but it took a final defensive stand to end Boise State's upset bid and keep Oregon from being embarrassed on national television. Oregon's number 2 ranking is going to drop. Not impressed either by number 4 Notre Dame. The halftime score of Sunday night's game in Green Bay, Wisconsin was Notre Dame 13, Wisconsin 10. The Fighting Irish did wake up in the second half to score 28 points in a 41-13 win. Notre Dame does not have the same amount of talent, I think, as last year's team. However, the Irish do have a very lightweight schedule. It's going to keep this team as a likely playoff contender. Yes, America's most overhyped team, Notre Dame, was not impressive in week number 1. Same goes for number 16, Michigan, but we've already told you about that. You can forget about the playoffs, Wolverines fans. Your team's going to be lucky to finish 7-5. And one more overhyped team coming out of the weekend, not impressive, were the Auburn Tigers. Those other SEC Tigers got a big break when Baylor decided to go for a two-point conversion in the closing seconds of their game. And the Bears were stopped inches short of the goal line and a possible winning conversion. Auburn took this 17-16, I'll call it Fiesta Bowl victory, in one of the most boring television games I've seen in recent memory. Baylor is no slouch, but Auburn's offense still stinks. And oh no, here we go again. Oklahoma State. Oh no, the Cowboys fired their longtime football coach Mike Gundy last year and finished 1-11. But then the Pokes hired a rising young football coach named Eric Morris from North Texas State. Coach Morris then brought a truckload of his former mean green football players up to Stillwater with him. Alas, his now orange-clad Cowboys were trounced 24-10 on the road by Tulsa Saturday. This week, number 2-ranked Oregon, which beat Oklahoma State 69-3 last year, is coming in the Stillwater. Oh no, Mr. Bill! And here we go again for Charlotte. The team formerly known as UNC Charlotte has posted just one winning season back in 2019 in the past 13 years. Their week number one home game saw FCS member The Citadel take a 43-41 triple overtime win over the home 49ers. It's going to be another long season again in Charlotte, North Carolina. And finally, here we go again for UL Monroe. Aww. I wanted to believe that this year's Warhawks team might be able to break that school's 13-year streak of not having a winning football season. Alas, ULM is already 0-1 after losing 62-13 at Mississippi State Saturday. The Warhawks defense, did someone say defense? Gave up a calculator-busting 762 yards as the Mississippi State Bulldogs racked up 35 first downs. ULM kicker Abram Murray from C.E. Byrd High School in Shreveport, though, kicked a 52-yarder and a 40-yard field goal to give ULM a ray of hope should this team ever play in a close game later on this season. That's it for week number one. Let's look forward to week number two. I'm Swamp Swami.